BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. It's a very, very full program. We're combining both our news roundup as well as in our second segment today, we're going to alert you how you can make a difference for life in a matter that's going on in New Zealand right now. We'll be going to New Zealand by way of a live recorded interview that we conducted with the Family First representative there, Bob McCoskrie. And we trust you'll join us for that second segment of the program today as we deal with information. Meanwhile, Lori has provided tons of material for us today, and much is going on. One of the things that is a common thread through so many stories from so many different fronts today is the escalation of anti-Semitism that is taking place. This from OneNewsNow.com. The U.S. State Department has updated and revised its definition of anti-Semitism in an era in which Jews are being compared to Nazis that tried to rid their ancestors from the earth. Fox News reports that the State Department previously listed 10 examples to define anti-Semitism, but has now added an 11th one that is drawing comparison of contemporary Israeli policy to that of Nazis. According to the Fox story, the 11th edition's in direct response to the push by far-left Democrats to push the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, that's the BDS movement. It appears a statement from Matt Staver saying enough is enough with this flagrant anti-Semitism. There's just no comparison between Israeli public policy today and that of the Nazis. The Washington Free Beacon has this story. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy demanding an investigation in how the California Department of Education crafted a blatantly anti-Semitic, anti-Israel high school curriculum that has fostered unease in the state's pro-Israel and Israeli-American communities. The Beacon reported this week that a group of activist state educators tied to the anti-Semitic boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, has hijacked their ethnic studies model curriculum in California to incorporate lessons that may have described as promoting Jew hatred. So, yes, we get into the schools with the curriculum now, and Kevin McCarthy is demanding this investigation. How is this anti-Semitism getting into the school's curriculum? Let's head over to Breitbart. At least 100 car tires slashed in a predominantly Orthodox Jewish neighborhood in New Jersey over the past few days. According to WABC, the owners of targeted vehicles in New York Lakewood Township, that would be New Jersey's Lakewood Township, all Jewish. This is a town that has one of the world's largest yeshivas, and also finding that so many tires being slashed in these acts of anti-Semitism. We know what's going on right now as well with two congresswomen, Muslim congresswomen, who mentioned that they were going to go into Israel and promote their BDS movement. Well, we have from the Free Beacon, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the sole objective for Representatives Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar's trip to Israel was to deny the country's legitimacy in a lengthy Twitter thread explaining the decision to deny them entry into the country. Only a few days ago, we received their itinerary for their visit in Israel, which revealed that they plan to visit. Their sole objective is to strengthen the boycott against us and to deny Israel's legitimacy, the Prime Minister's official account tweeted. For instance, they listed the destination of their trip as Palestine, not Israel. And unlike all Democratic and Republican members of Congress who have visited Israel, they did not request to meet any Israeli officials, either from the government or the opposition. He later added that the itinerary of the two congresswomen revealed that the sole purpose of their visit was to harm Israel and to increase incitement against it. Their trip was going to be funded by the Palestinian organization MIFTA, that's an avid supporter of BDS, and among whose members are those who have expressed support for terrorism against Israel. So Benjamin Netanyahu said, no, you may not come to Israel. Well, it appears just hours before prior, Tlaib had insisted that this trip could be her last opportunity to see her grandmother and promised Israel in a letter she wouldn't promote boycotts during her stay. And so Israel's the interior minister, Ari Dery, approved today for Tlaib to come for humanitarian reasons to enter Israel, visit her Palestinian relatives on condition that she does not promote boycotts against Israel during her trip, reports CBN News. In other words, now we have Israel calling Tlaib's bluff, and it turned out Grandma was nothing more than a prop for promulgating her fantasy of wiping Israel off the globe. So we have coming out from Tlaib today, quote, she said, I have decided that visiting my grandmother under these oppressive conditions stands against everything I believe in, fighting against racism, oppression, and injustice, she said this morning. Here we have then from Fox News, the interior minister on Friday just tore into Tlaib for canceling her planned visit. Apparently, her hate for Israel overwhelms her love for her grandmother, Ari Dery tweeted out. Coming to us from Jihad Watch, recently Palestinians at a university near Ramallah handed out candy to celebrate the brutal stabbing murder of a 19-year-old Israeli student. From Breaking Israel News, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps naval commander warned on Sunday that any illegitimate presence by the Zionists in the waters of the Persian Gulf could spark a war after Israel announced that it was taking part in a U.S.-led mission to secure the Strait of Hormuz. Last week, Israel's foreign minister said that Israel would be providing an intelligence and other assistance to Operation Sentinel, which is a U.S.-led effort to secure the Strait of Hormuz in the wake of multiple incidents in which Iranian naval forces seized foreign oil tankers in the vital shipping lanes. Israel said that they would join in and help. And so we have the warning coming from Iran, indicating certainly their threats to Israel, and war would be breaking out if the Zionists enter. Britain, by the way, has also joined in that mission. From DefenseNews.com, the contract to purchase two Iron Dome systems for the U.S. Army's interim cruise missile defense capability now finalized. The Iron Dome was co-developed by both an American company and an Israeli defense firm. The Army is figuring out now delivery schedules here for the Iron Dome coming to the United States. And from Track Persia, the Iranian oil production fell by 50,000 barrels per day in July to 2.23 million barrels per day. That's the country's lowest since the 1980s, reported by the International Energy Agency. Another big issue, of course, this week has been the death of Jeffrey Epstein. President Donald Trump, this is from Newsmax.com. President Donald Trump said Tuesday he wants full investigation into the circumstances surrounding his death at a federal detention facility in New York City while awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges. And Timothy Meads at townhall.com reports that Epstein, accused sex trafficker, convicted child sex offender, somehow committed suicide despite being one of the most secure prisons in the nation this past Sunday. Shortly before he died, the billionaire had given a interview to the New York Times, an exclusive secret interview, he reports. This meant that the New York Times was not supposed to cite him as their source during the conversation, but now that he's dead, the paper released brief details. The New York Times writer said as far as he could tell, Epstein had no remorse for his actions. In fact, he even compared the way the public thought of having sex with underage girls, also known as child rape, to the way homosexuality was viewed years ago. In other words, years ago, homosexuality was frowned upon, and but it's acceptable today, and the implication is that this also would be acceptable. Also, while sitting in the middle of photos of Epstein, celebrities like President Bill Clinton and Hollywood celebrity Woody Allen Stewart got the from the New York Times, Stewart got the impression that the disgraced businessman had mountains of dirt on other ultra wealthy individuals. This is becoming like a soap opera, folks, and we'll continue to see the pieces of the puzzle unfold. In other news, the Trump administration, this is from FoxNews.com, on Monday issued a long-awaited rule strengthening the ability of federal officials to deny green cards to immigrants deemed likely to rely on government aid. The officials describe the so-called public charge rule as a way to ensure those granted permanent residency are self-sufficient and to protect taxpayers in the process. Fox also reports that a federal appeals court sided with the Trump administration today in the legal battle over its efforts to limit asylum claims from Central America, blocking for now a nationwide injunction that blocked the implementation of the rule. The rule is tailored to target Central Americans from the Northern Triangle of Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras who would travel across multiple countries, including Mexico, before claiming asylum in the United States. Interesting story from CNSNews.com. Acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleen told NBC's Meet the Press this past Sunday that out of 680 individuals arrested illegals during the raids at the food processing plants through Mississippi last week, 200 of them had a criminal record. Also, Breitbart's reporting that roughly 150s locals attended a job fair to apply for jobs at the Koch Foods plant in Mississippi. This was held after the 243 illegal migrants in two of the country's chicken processing plants had been removed from the business. And very interesting of now they're opening this up for citizens of the United States. They're being careful now on whom they're hiring. This Koch Foods is not part of the Koch Brothers network of energy companies. Also an interesting story coming to us from frontpagemag.com. In five states, one in five prisoners are Muslim. At 1%, Muslims are still a small percentage of the population, but there's one place in America where they are vastly overrepresented, and that's in our state prisons. Maryland has an estimated 70,000 Muslims, making up over 1% of the population, but of Maryland's 18,562 prisoners, 5,084 were Muslim. That's 27.4%, one in four prisoners Muslim. They are startling numbers, yet they come from Muslim advocates. It's a Islamist legal advocacy group, and the number of Muslims in different states may be miscounted, yet those figures raise serious questions about public safety and the toll that immigration is taking on our communities. 6.5% of the Muslim population in Washington, D.C. was in jail in 2017. Muslims make up 1% of the population in Pennsylvania, but one in five of its prisoners are Muslim. In five states, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, Muslims make up one out of four or one out of five prisoners. In another four states, Wisconsin, Missouri, Delaware, and Arkansas, they make up one in 10 prisoners. American military news. Hong Kong citizens have begun waving American flags, singing the U.S. national anthem amid ongoing protest against China's control. U.S. Representative Dan Crenshaw posted a video of singing citizens and said Hong Kong is a modern-day struggle between tyrannical rule and free democracy. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go by tape here to New Zealand, where you're going to find out how you can make a difference for life. Have handy a pencil, a sheet of paper, so you can jot down some information that will be provided in this next segment. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is the ocean salty?
Chris, salt is added to the ocean on a daily basis as rain falls on the land surface, dissolving salt, which then gets into the rivers and ultimately to the ocean. And we can measure how much salt is carried in the rivers. We also know how much salt is in the ocean. A simple division of the amount of salt by the rate at which it's added shows us that the age of the Earth's oceans is far too young to have allowed for evolution, because evolution assumes that life evolved in the salty sea long ago. But if the oceans were old, it would already be so choked with salt that life would be impossible. You see, Chris, the direct scientific observations do not support the evolution idea. They do support recent creation, and that's the recent creation we read about when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Right now, we want to make you aware on how you can take a stand for life that will impact a nation on the other side of the globe. We're talking about New Zealand, where it is already tomorrow morning there. The New Zealand Parliament has introduced a radical abortion bill, which has already passed its first reading. Some 80% plus of the members of Parliament have voted for it, and it is now going to a special committee for consideration of this legislation. However, we're told that they are open to reaction. They're taking input not only from within New Zealand, but also internationally as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where you come in, and joining me from New Zealand right now, we have Bob McCoskrey, who is the National Director of Family First, which is a well-known, strongly supported voice for family issues in New Zealand. He is speaking forth on a public level, a media level, political level. Our guest has both a ministry background, an educational background, and also a legal background. Bob, good to have you with us today.
Hi, Jim. Good to be with you. Hi to your listeners.
Bob, we'd like to learn, first of all, before we learn what is proposed for New Zealand, help us understand first in a very brief way what the law is presently in New Zealand pertaining to abortion.
Well, we currently have a pretty liberal abortion law because effectively we have abortion on demand up to 20 weeks. And then between 20 and 40 weeks, it's in exceptional circumstances, so where it's endangerment to the life of the mother or to the child. And they can also take into account cases of incest and rape in those situations. So effectively, New Zealand has abortion on demand, but the pro-abortion groups don't like the fact that the word crime is used because currently it's contained in the Crimes Act because it recognises that two lives are involved. Mm. Secondly, they don't like the fact that there are some safety procedures and checks in place where you have to get sign-off from doctors. They effectively want it on demand anytime for any reason, and that's what they're lobbying for. Now, what the government has proposed is slightly short of that. They've said anytime, any reason, up to 20 weeks with no checks or balances. Between 20 and 40 weeks, you just go to the abortion provider, and if the abortion provider reasonably believes that it's appropriate, then you can have the abortion. So effectively, it's on demand.
My. So it's my understanding then they want to treat abortion then as a health issue rather than the criminal issue. Is that right?
Well, that's the terminology that goes on. And effectively, by taking it out of the Crimes Act, it removes any legal recognition of the unborn child. So it effectively removes all the safeguards around sex selection, around screening for not only disabilities, but imperfections. And of course, it loosens up the categories for late-term abortions because, you know, as I said previously, it was for exceptional circumstances. Now it's effectively just the sign-off of the abortion provider if they think it's appropriate. And of course, you know, follow the money, follow the vested interests. You just shop around for the doctor who you know is going to say yes.
My. And I was reading through some of the literature, and I saw it was indicating that this law would do is just give an unborn child, put them on the same status of like an appendix or tonsils or gallbladder, nothing more than just tissue being removed, just part of a health procedure. Is that really what they're reducing life to?
Well, that's the terminology, but I guess in fairness, that would be the same in the United States, wouldn't it? That's really the whole focus of the law is on the mother, but there was no legal recognition of the unborn child. Even though we tell mothers that, you know, they shouldn't drink, they shouldn't take drugs, you know, they should take extra care when they're pregnant. So if the child is wanted, suddenly we recognize that it's an unborn life. But if it's not wanted, it isn't an unborn life. And I just don't think you determine life on the basis of the choice of the mother as to whether they want it or not. You know, we want every child to be loved and accepted and received, not based on just the preferential treatment of whether the mother wants it or not. That's not how life works, does it? That's not biology.
Right. Bob McCoskrey with us today, National Director of Family First, based in New Zealand. Bob, I understand that this proposal also is attacking the freedom of conscience rights for health practitioners.
Yeah, there are concerns around there because what it effectively says is that doctors have to refer their patients to another abortion provider if they don't want to provide the service themselves or provide the advice. And, you know, for many doctors, that goes against their freedom of conscience. So there will certainly be concerns around that. Jim, we've done a lot of polling around this issue, and what we've found is that basically, and I think probably similar to the States, is that New Zealand is sort of split down the middle. If you ask people whether they generally support or oppose abortion, probably about half the country is pro-life and half the country is pro-choice. But when you then drill down and say, well, when do you think abortion is acceptable, it's interesting because even pro-choice people, you know, the pro-abortion groups think that there should be restrictions. They're not comfortable with abortions right up to 20 weeks. They believe in life at conception. They don't. They're totally opposed to sex selection, and they want the abortion rate to go down. So, you know, it's fascinating. Even pro-abortion people are actually quite conservative towards abortion, and so I guess it's our role is to get out the facts, especially around what abortion involves. Mm-hmm. And Jim, we've been given a bit of a gift because the Unplanned movie has just been released in New Zealand in the next week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for anybody who's seen that movie, the reality of what abortion actually involves is, you know, I think that's the truth that needs to get through because so many people who support abortion really don't understand what's involved. And so if we can get that truth out, that could, you know, turn the boat.
Friends, keep in mind that right now in New Zealand, already they have just a horrendous law, in my opinion, to allow for the killing of the unborn in the womb, but it's not enough. They want to expand it even further and making the killing of an innocent life in the womb more accessible, okay for sex selection of abortions, if that baby is deemed to have some sort of disability. The thought is, let's kill it before it becomes born. Folks, this is horrendous. The Bible says that God hates hands that shed innocent blood, and they're seeking to expand this in New Zealand right now. And as far as the parliamentary process, we understand it's already passed Parliament, but there's this select committee that's been established?
Yeah, so, I mean, Jim, just back to that point, really what the pro-abortion groups wants to do is they want to just get rid of any stigma. They want to get rid of any suggestion that there could be a life involved in the process of abortion. So that's what it comes down to. But yeah, look, the select committee, which is a small group of MPs, are now receiving submissions, and we want to swamp the committee with submissions opposing this bill. And they are looking for international experts, people who are experts in fetal development and, you know, who understand the harms of abortion, post-abortion counselors, etc. So people can make submissions, and we've tried to make it real simple. We've put a real step-by-step procedure, and we just encourage people to go to a website called lovethembothnz for New Zealand. So it's lovethembothnz, and we've got some background information, what the law currently says, what the law could say, and then go down to the bottom, and you'll see how to make a submission. And, Jim, I'd encourage every one of your listeners to become part of this debate and give their expertise. They don't need to be New Zealanders. If they've got an area of expertise in this area, then please speak up.
Indeed, folks. And let me give you again the website, because, friends, your input is likely that which is going to impact life in New Zealand and protect innocent life in the womb. The website lovethembothnz, that stands for New Zealand, lovethembothnz. So you can read about it, you can get informed, and then click on the button there, make an online submission now. And while all can participate in letting your comments known, if you can offer some sort of expert opinion in the area of maybe it's fetal heartbeats or fetal development or fetal pain, maybe you know of the emotional trauma of women who have had an abortion or children who have survived abortion attempt or children that have been born of rape or incest or maybe that of counseling women who've had an abortion, risk associated with abortion, any firsthand experience with abortion, you're especially encouraged to contact and file comments with the Parliamentary Select Committee. And it's so easy, folks. You just go to the website, lovethembothnz. Again, that stands for New Zealand, lovethembothnz. You can read about it hit the button on making an online submission. And actually, Bob, you've made it very simple for people to participate, to get informed, and then to take action.
Yep, and the cutoff is only a month away. So, you know, I guess there's a sense of urgency. The politicians are keen to ram this through as soon as possible. We have a general election next year, and the last thing they want is for this issue to be on the political agenda next year when everybody's thinking about their vote. Not only that, Jim, not only are we facing a vote on abortion, we're also about to face a final vote on euthanasia.
Mm.
And we've also got a referendum next year on legalising marijuana. So, you know, people may think New Zealand's a lovely country. Physically, we're beautiful. But, gee, morally and spiritually, we've got real issues.
My. And, folks, again, the select committee that's from the parliament, they've been set up. They're going to be reviewing the feedback that comes in. And then they're the ones who make recommendations. Should we amend this? Should we scrap the bill? Should we throw it away altogether? But they base it on the submissions that are coming in. And this is why input from all over the globe. And, folks, you have opportunity here in the U.S. to impact what's going on in New Zealand. And that's why it's so critical right now, Bob.
Yeah, it is. And Jim, really appreciate the opportunity to, you know, share the need in another part of the world and you know, really encourage your listeners, look, if they have expertise in any of these areas, a passion, experience, then please, we need to hear from them. This is the time to speak up. You know, for, as I say, for evil to succeed, it just takes good people to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we need to speak up.
Bob McCoskrie with us here today from New Zealand. And God bless you, Bob. Thank you for your efforts to inform and to take a stand for life.
Jim, thanks for your time, and thank you to the listeners. Really appreciate it.
Again, that website, lovethembothnz. And again, that NZ stands for New Zealand. And we would encourage you to get online and file those comments. Some of you listening right now are in the medical profession where your expert testimony in particular would make a huge difference there. As they said, they're open to international input. And so please take a stand for life in New Zealand, and you can impact them right here from where you live. Looking at some additional stories, lifenews.com. This is a ray of sunshine. A court order has stopped the new law in New Jersey legalizing assisted suicide from going into effect. In April, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed into law a bill targeting elderly and disabled people that legalize assisted suicide statewide. A New Jersey law firm obtained a temporary restraining order preventing the New Jersey Assisted Suicide Act from going into effect. Also from lifenews.com, Dr. Philip Nitschke, the inventor of the suicide pod that gasses patients to death. Well, now he's created a video service so he can watch people kill themselves in real time. Nitschke, who is also known as Dr. Death, is the founder of the pro-euthanasia group Exit International. According to the Daily Mail, Nitschke has claimed that the video service, which allows him to watch people commit suicide in real time, will help improve the quality of assisted dying. We'll have some more stories right after the break. This is a News Roundup Friday here today on Crosstalk. Back in a minute.
Evolution as an idea is considered a rock-solid truth among secular scientists. But when you begin looking at the evidence and asking simple questions, you find their conclusions to be just fragile assumptions, unproven myth, and outright misconceptions. Like a glass house on shifting sands. In the book Glass House, general editors Ken Ham and Bodie Hodge, along with a team of credentialed scientists, researchers, and biblical apologists, take on the pillars of evolution. The truths they reveal decimate Darwin's beliefs using a biblical and logical approach to evidence. Learn what science is and how science is actually devastating to evolution. You'll also learn how evolution developed from unproven science to a popular and cultural worldview. Copies of Glass House are available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. I'd like to get some more stories in today here on our news roundup. Very interesting. Democratic presidential hopeful Kamala Harris of California. You can watch the video of this, but she was scolded by a nursing home resident who told the politician, leave the health care system alone. Very interesting. You can watch that clip that's out there in video form. Let's go to the state of Oregon. Western Journal reports that a showdown between anti-fascist protesters and various right-leaning groups tomorrow in Portland is primed to blow. Police are now taking measures to keep the protests as contained as possible. Both far-right and far-left activists plan to flood the streets of Portland on Saturday, and the expected attendance numbers have police worried. According to the Associated Press, not a single officer from the Portland Police Bureau will have the day off. They are also seeking, so there was some talk about the National Guard and also the Oregon State Police. The FBI will also be providing assistance. From LifeSiteNews.com, the Trump administration is proposing a rule that would permit government contractors to make employment decisions that are consistent with their sincerely held religious tenets and beliefs without fear of sanction by the federal government. If adopted, the rule would reverse an Obama-era executive order that restricted religious federal contractors' ability to consider employees' adherence to their faith on matters of sexuality and gender. CNSNews.com, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed into law last week legislation that mandates all public schools in the state teach LGBT history to students, emphasizing the roles and contributions of gays and transgenders in the history of Illinois and the United States. If you're listening in Illinois, that law goes into your schools, the effective date of July 1 of 2020. They've done the same thing in New Jersey, but there is a mayor there who is taking a stand. ChristianNews.net has the story. A mayor in New Jersey has taken a stand against a new state law that requires public school curricula in the state to include information on the contributions of homosexuals and transgenders in history. According to the Asbury Press, during the weekly regular meeting for Barnegat Township, Mayor Alfonso Cirulli forthrightly stated that homosexual activism is an affront to Almighty God and that it is his duty to protect the people. The Senate legislation 1659 is to take effect for the 2020 school year. It's up to each Board of Education to have policies and procedures in place pertaining to the selection of instructional materials to implement these requirements. They could go to extremes with this, he said, like bringing in a drag queen to kindergartners. According to the Washington Post, he said that they're just forcing an issue on kids where I don't think the state has any interest sticking their nose. He said, now is the time for the righteous to stand up for their rights. I can only imagine the outrage that is going against this mayor, but certainly hats off. Would you pray for him as he continues to take a stand? From the Western Journal, the U.S. Department of Education Office for Civil Rights will investigate a discrimination claim after the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference allowed biological males to compete in girls' athletic events. Conservative legal organization Alliance Defending Freedom requested that the department open an investigation. LifeSiteNews.com, Vermont parents will be able to take children of any age for gender reassignment surgery at taxpayer expense if regulators adopt a proposed rule to abolish the state's minimum age requirement for covering the procedure under Medicaid. Proposed in May, the rule purports to expand access to gender affirmation surgery under Medicaid by eliminating the previous requirement that patients be at least 21 years old. Patients younger than 18 would need only to provide documented informed consent of a parent, a legal custodian, or a guardian. Coming to us from the Christian Post, a federal judge ruled last Friday that a Virginia schools district's policy that prevents a transgender student using the name of Gavin Grimm from using boys' bathroom facilities violates the U.S. Constitution. The latest ruling in the case remanded to lower courts by the U.S. Supreme Court. The judge has ordered the school district to change Grimm's transcripts to reflect a male identity within 10 days and pay the attorney fees. FreeBeacon.com tells us new legislation expected around Labor Day, according to Attorney General William Barr, will specifically expedite the use of the death penalty for offenders who murder police officers or commit mass murders. Speaking before the Fraternal Order of Police, he said, "We will not tolerate violence against police." The National Sentinel reports as police officers in Philadelphia responded to an ambush of their fellow officers Wednesday afternoon. Residents of the city of brotherly love pelted some of them with objects in what has become the latest sign of social breakdown and resistance to authority in another major American city. Let's go then to Florida. That was Pennsylvania. Here is Florida from Fox News. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE workers, are facing a rapidly escalating series of threats, including protesters menacing their children and shots being fired at their offices amid a rising tide of anti-ICE rhetoric from the left, fueled by congressional Democrats, fueled by media voices and presidential hopefuls. Footage published Tuesday by Breitbart News shows protesters in Florida from groups such as Never Again Action and Black Lives Matter Alliance of Broward County threatening workers and former employees of the GEO Group, a private contractor used by ICE. One protester threatened the family of GEO Group's former general counsel, John Bolfin. Also, then we go from Florida to the state of Texas, where Breitbart has the story. Officials from the FBI and ICE says that Tuesday shootings at two federal facilities were a targeted attack. A shooter fired multiple rounds at the two ICE facilities in San Antonio, Texas, on Tuesday morning. Let's see. Also from the Hill, the Trump administration Monday announced it had finalized a controversial rollback of protections for endangered species, including allowing economic factors to be weighed before adding an animal to the list. I've got some more stories, but let's open some phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Folks, we got a spending problem in this country. And the problem is on both sides of the aisles. It seems it doesn't matter who is in the presidency, that there is the open checkbook system that continues. This is from CNSNews.com. The federal government spent a record of $3.7 trillion in the first 10 months of fiscal year 2019. That's October through July. And while spending that record, $3.7 trillion. The government ran a deficit of $866,000, nearly a $1 trillion deficit so far this year. By the way, according to WND.com, the IRS finally ready to make good on threats to strip U.S. passports from Americans who owe more than $52,000 in overdue taxes. The tax collector and the State Department are escalating enforcement of the Fixing America's Surface Transportation Act. That's the FAST Act that enables them to deny passport applications or to revoke existing passports due to outstanding debt. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Our number here, 800-733-9829. Racine, Wisconsin. Lat, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Jim. I just want to bring up the story about it was brought this week that we could possibly go into recession, and I believe that's probably going to happen, but much worse, because people don't know this. I mean, they say we're like $25 trillion in debt, but the United States is actually close to $100 trillion with Social Security and the Medicare that we can't fund that they've been dipping into.
Yeah, so the latest story I read about our spending out of control, even for this fiscal year, does not do anything to help.
No, it's out of control, and this should have been done a long, long time ago. And these congressmen and senators, they think they have an open checkbook, but the problem is it's not their checkbook.
You're right. It's not their checkbook, but right now they have opened it with no debt ceiling to get us past the next election, and there's something wrong about that, Lat.
Yes, there is. All right, Jim. I love your show. I love you guys.
Thanks for the call. Star is calling from Marshfield, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Star.
Okay, do we have 275 days of sentence and 90 days on work release with 7 years probation after that for a woman in California for putting 7 puppies that were just born in a trash can, but yet they will throw away their babies through abortion right up to the point of live birth?
Isn't that tragic?
Yes.
Thank you, Star, for your comment on that. Our number is 800-733-9829. Ron in Tri-Cities, Washington, you're on the air.
Yes, about the percentage of Muslims in the prisons.
Yeah.
I think that that should be broken down, the percentage of Muslims who are immigrants and the percentage who are black Muslims. The black Muslims, which is a kind of a heretical sect, and they do a lot of recruiting of African-American prisoners because they're attracted to the violence and the racism that's in that sect. So you'd really get a good idea of how much are from immigrants and how much are from indigenous people. You have to break that down between, let's say, the Muslim immigrants and these black Muslims. They do a lot of recruiting in the prisons.
Yeah, there is much recruitment going on in the prisons, and I think the greater point to the story is that those who are following a religion that is not one of peace, it's one of jihad, make up a very significant portion of the prison population.
Absolutely. One thing about it, though, I've known a lot of Muslims. They come here. One fellow, I met him when I was handing out testaments at the University of Idaho. He was from Saudi Arabia. It was been told about how evil all the Christians are, how mean they are. And he doesn't know what religious liberty was, and he was absolutely fascinated by it. People should not look down on the individual Muslim. They're not all like that, these jihadis. It's an excellent way to evangelize Muslims. You never get a chance to do that if you're over in Saudi Arabia. Mm.
Thank you, Ron, for your comments here. And again, regardless of skin color of an individual, it's a religion. It is a political system. It is a method to take over control that is following a pathway that is totally inconsistent with biblical Christianity. It's totally inconsistent with the Constitution of the United States. Neil in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes. We hear Epstein committed suicide. But so far, I've heard no reports onto how he did it. Is it like they haven't decided what their story's going to be?
Well, supposedly they found sheets around his neck, but these were to be paper-thin sheets that could not support a body. There's reports come out that the autopsy showed broken bones in the neck that would be, they most often find in homicide situations, not in self-inflicted suicide situations. So there's a lot of inconsistencies and a lot of varied stories that are coming out as to all that's going on there. And I really hope that we can get down to the bottom of this.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Neil, for your call from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We're just seconds away from the break, so we're going to take the break and come back with more of your calls here on Crosstalk. Our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Last week, we had the tragic shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. And liberals are quick to blame conservatives and Christians and claim it is due to racism. Reality is, the progressive socialist liberals should be celebrating what has just occurred because they have been agitating for it and creating it for generations. They have been deliberately trying to destroy the institutions of America that have led to this tragedy and more to follow. So why are they crying? Why are they upset? You and I both know most of these progressives are not upset at all. This is what they have wanted. Chaos. They've wanted to destroy the family, law, order, sanctity, security. Why? So they could exploit the crisis. As Saul Alinsky said, change comes from the conflict. Agitate to the point of conflict. The progressives have gotten what they wanted. They've removed God from America's moorings, and this is the fruit.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a Friday News Roundup Day here today. Taking your phone calls and right back to the phone lines. Judy in La Crosse, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. Long time. Would you say or would you think that $1 trillion or $2 trillion would buy Alaska?
Well, I don't know that Alaska is already, of course, a state in the United States. It's not a state that's for sale. What is your greater point here, Judy?
It's just that I don't know. I have no idea what $1 trillion is. I don't think any individual does either.
Yeah, it's a pretty staggering amount of money. And certainly when you, I know that there are different statistics that have come out to give you a visualization of that, but it's very, very staggering. And when you consider that, you multiply that many, many times over, we've got a national debt that is out of control. And even just this fiscal year, we are nearing in on $1 trillion of debt. Thank you, Judy, for the call. John is next. Go ahead, John. You're on the air. Okay, I'm sorry, we're not going to do that, and we dropped your call. You are vulgar, John, and I just want you to know that. You are vulgar, and your comments are not going out over the air today. Friends, there are many issues as they continue to go on. As we take a look here from FoxNews.com, several high-profile Senate Democrats have warned the Supreme Court in pointed terms this week that it could face a fundamental restructuring if justices do not take steps to heal the court in the near future. Listen to this. The ominous and unusual warning was delivered as part of a brief filed Monday in a case related to New York City gun laws. Sheldon Whitehouse and Blumenthal, Hirano of Hawaii, Durbin, Gillibrand referenced rulings by the court's conservative majority in claiming it is suffering from some sort of affliction that has to be remedied. You see, if the conservative majority sticks to the Constitution and makes a ruling, then they find out that the court has some kind of affliction. And the brief says perhaps the court can heal itself before the public demands it be restructured in order to reduce the influence of politics. Dramatic changes to the Supreme Court have been proposed by several Democrats vying for their party's 2020 presidential nomination, with court packing being a highly controversial suggestion. Increasingly, the number of justices on the court would allow the president to shift the balance on the bench by loading up justices of his or her preference. In other words, the threat is, unless you start making rulings that we agree with, then we are going to suggest we stack the court. And this is what is coming forth from multiple candidates for the presidency. Beto O'Rourke, also Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Gillibrand, all have signaled their openness to expand the number of justices on the court should they reach the White House. So you have 5-4 decisions coming forth, but we will just add more justices that are of our political philosophy that would stack the court. Truly, truly horrendous what is going on. Also, we have here from FoxNews.com, newly obtained documents confirm that James Comey's FBI was running a secret and corrupt counterintelligence operation against the Trump administration in the summer of 2016 and repeatedly deceiving the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, thereafter in order to wiretap a Trump campaign associate. The disclosure was the result of a federal lawsuit and a year of litigation, despite efforts by FBI Director Wray to obstruct a federal court issued an order that forced the FBI and Department of Justice to produce records known as 302 reports. They're a summary of interviews FBI agents conducted with Bruce Ohr, a top DOJ official. And now we have Greg Jarrett saying Comey's FBI was running a secret counterintelligence operation against Donald Trump. And it's proven by these new documents. Al is calling from Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I appreciate you taking my call today. I wanted to talk a little bit about earlier in the show.
Al, we're losing you. Talk right into the mouthpiece of your phone.
Okay. I was just, we were talking earlier
about Rashida Tlaib and you know, how she draped herself in a Palestinian flag and,
yeah,
when she got elected or that night. And I just don't understand how, you know, the people elected somebody to represent the American flag, and then she drapes herself in a Palestinian flag. That just doesn't make sense to me. And now she's saying she doesn't want to go see her grandmother in the West Bank after she caused all this ruckus.
It never was really
disingenuous to me. I just can't.
It is disingenuous.
I just can't put my finger on this kind of people.
Yeah, the grandmother was used as nothing more than a prop here, Al. Very disingenuous, yes, as to her rationale for going to Israel. She was wanting to go there for the purpose of protest, photo opportunities to be in Israel and to promote the BDS movement. Her grandmother, nothing more than a prop for her to go through. And to me, it's just really disgusting, and the efforts that are being made. Also, we have the likes of Israel being obliterated from the map in such congressional office as well, removing Israel and putting in Palestine.
It makes you sick. It's just horrible, that people would elect someone like that. It just blows my mind, dude.
Yeah. Thank you, Al, for the comments here today. That's all the time we're going to have for phone calls here on Crosstalk. And even to our caller here who called in with vulgarities, which I'm thankful you folks did not get an opportunity to hear. This is a person listening. We're thankful for that, but a person who needs Jesus, who needs the Lord. And our prayer is that not only he, but others like himself who listen would come to recognize the importance and necessity of trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says that we are all sinners. Our sin separates us from a righteous, holy God. But God loves us. He loves you so very much that he sent his only begotten Son into this world, that by placing our trust in him, the finished work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, he died on the cross, he shed his blood, he was buried, he rose again the third day. By placing our trust in him, we can have eternal life. My friend, if you're listening today and you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is a day of acceptance. It's a day of salvation. And I trust today you'll place your trust in Jesus Christ. Our time is gone. We thank you for tuning in. It is Friday. Trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church this Lord's Day. And honor him with your life. Use these stories as a means to be praying for our nation, be praying for our leaders, and certainly to be salt and to be light. Take the good news of the gospel wherever you go. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.